Hi, I'm Diane LaSauce, and I blog at Home Garden Life, and I'm getting ready to listen to Rose Chat Podcast.
It's time for the Rose Chat Podcast, a podcast dedicated to celebrating the world's most beloved flower, the rose. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleef and Teresa Byington as they chat with rose lovers and experts from around the globe. With each episode, you'll gain valuable knowledge and insights to achieve the rose garden you've always dreamed of. Listen now as we explore the world of roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Easy to brew and use on all indoor and outdoor plants. Find them online at manuretea.com.
The Rose Show season is in full swing, and exhibitors all over the country are on the hunt for the best exhibition roses, all in pursuit of the coveted Queen of Show. Well, welcome to this edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. Richard Anthony is our guest today. He's a rose hybridizer, a national level exhibitor, and owner of ForLoveOfRoses.com. Now, he's won over 100 Queens of Show over the last 12 years exhibiting roses. In recent seasons, Richard has won 3 national queens, 8 district queens, and he's joining us today to talk about his top picks for exhibiting miniature and mini flora roses.
We also hope to squeeze out of him some tips for exhibiting these mini giants of the Rose Show, so stay with us.
We'll be right back. There's more Rose Chat coming your way.
Hi, I'm Phil Paul with the American Rose Society. My family has been growing roses for some 50 years. My wife and I have grown roses across the United States for the last 25. There's nothing more breathtaking than a beautiful display of roses in full bloom.
No matter if you're an experienced rosarian or are just beginning your first rose garden, the American Rose Society is here to help. It's a tremendous resource for making your rose garden the envy of your neighborhood. There's even a rose photography contest for members to showcase the best of the best. Each member will be published in the American Rose magazine.
We invite you to become a part of one of America's oldest horticultural societies and the home of our national floral emblem.
For more information on becoming a member of the American Rose Society and on the rose photography contest, visit ars.org.
Richard, how are the roses doing down in the sunny south?
Well, it wasn't very sunny down here today, that's for sure. We had thunderstorms all day, and the temperatures dropped, but I'm getting excited. We're only 3-plus weeks away from the combined spring mini national coming up in Worthington, Ohio, so it's going to be like old home week since I moved to Tennessee from Kent, Ohio. I'm going to go back there and see some people that I know quite well.
Oh, that's going to be great. Now, Richard, I'm sure there are a few people, if any, in the rose world that know more about minis and mini floral roses than you do. But let's start with some basics, because I know some people get confused by the distinction between mini, mini flora. So can you share with us how these two groups are categorized?
Well, it's primarily a question of size, Teresa. A miniature is typically 2 inches or less in the size of the bloom, whereas a mini flora goes from 2 inches plus up to about 3 inches in size. It's not consistent as far as height and width of the bush, but typically mini floras are a bigger rose bush. Leaves are bigger. Everything about them, it's like a giant mini or a mega mini, whatever you want to call it. You know, it's something that came about, it was a necessity because roses kept getting larger and larger and larger, and hybridizers had nowhere to put them, and exhibitors didn't know what to do with them. So I think we're fortunate to have mini floras today. I love them.
Oh, yes, they're so beautiful. They're just like perfect little miniature roses. And, you know, we know that so many people have smaller gardens and people are gardening on rooftops and balconies. So this just works so perfectly, I think, for so many people.
I think so. And what people aren't aware of, they do equally well in a container as opposed to being planted in the garden. I have never grown a mini flora in the ground yet. It's always been in containers.
Wow. Well, that is impressive because you grow a lot. So I'm doing more and more containers too, and I find that they're doing very well. So the container thing is something new for me, but I love it. I love it. Now, as Chris mentioned, rose exhibitors around the country are always in pursuit of those best roses. They want to win at the local, district, and national rose shows. So, share with us some insider information. What are the top mini roses?
Well, I'd say the top mini rose, and I can't really say there's just one, but Joy. David Clemens Rose, I can't say enough good about it. I was fortunate to get a rose from David about a year and a half before he registered it. I still have that same rose bush. I'm just thrilled with it. But if you take Joy and you take Renegade, Bee's Knees, Magic Show, Arcanum, Birth of Spring, The Lighthouse, Robin's Rose, Wanderlust, and Nancy Jean, and if that's the only miniatures you had in your garden, I guarantee you, you've got the miniatures that can win.
Oh, I say so much the same for Joy. I don't have it in a container. I have it just in a bed, and it just bloomed its heart out last year. So that one truly is a great one. And Bee's Knees, every picture I see of that, and now I have my own, and it has buds on it, so I can't wait to see what it does. But that one just knocks my socks off every time I see a picture of it.
You will like it. Fred Wright has a rose called Sweet Mally, and it's almost identical to Bee's Knees. It's a little larger, has a little more color. And I'm hoping for the National in one of the challenge classes that I have good blooms of Bee's Knees and Sweet Mally because they're going to be the centerpiece of the challenge class.
Wow. Now, you have one that it's on your Facebook page right now. It's a seedling, and it's absolutely my perfect colors. It's the rosy pink, and it's the yellow. So what can you tell us about this one that we might be seeing?
Well, I think if you go to the National in Worthington, you're going to see that rose there, and you'll have an opportunity to take it home with you.
Ooh, boy, now that's an incentive for sure. It is just stunning. It is just perfect.
It's pretty. Initially, we were going to take some of our own seedlings, but this is one we intend to take because I'm convinced that it is a good rose. It's very attractive. And it just has that stopping your tracks coloration. The picture on Facebook does not do the rose justice.
Oh, man. Well, we've got to see that one for sure. Okay, so let's talk about the mini floras. What are your top ones there?
Well, we go back to David Clemens again and Whirl Away. I mean, Whirl Away is the top mini flora going.
And that one's white, right?
Pardon me?
Is that one white?
Oh, it's white. It's gorgeous. I can't say enough good about it. David has the two top roses there are. He only has two roses that are not named after racehorses. One is a miniature Joy, and the other is Tammy Clemens, who he named after his wife for their 20th wedding anniversary. I'm in love with it.
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. I've seen that one.
You know, Sean Cease is another fantastic mini flora. I like First Choice. I mean, I could just go on and on and on and give you the top 25. It's hard to say, you know, you got to have one, you got to have two, you got to have this. Tammy Clemens is beautiful. Hello Sunshine is beautiful. And there's a lot of new ones that have just come on the market. Gift of Love by Fred Wright and Queen of Hope by Fred Wright. These are all phenomenal new mini floras that are going to make a real presence on the show circuit as distribution improves and people start showing them.
Tell us a few things. Give us a few tips on how to take the the plant that we buy from you and make it the beautiful plant that it needs to be. So what are some tips for growing the great show roses?
I think the best thing a person can do when they get a rose from us or some of the other rose nurseries is put it in a container and let it grow for anywhere from 3 months to an entire year.
Mm-hmm.
When I used to have hybrid teas or any other big roses, and I still have them, I would always put the rose in a 3-gallon container, grow it for 1 year. Then I would put it in the ground. And I found over the years that by doing this, you get a much better plant in the ground because you've established the root system in the container.
Mm-hmm. I was always too impatient to do that, and I knew I probably should, but so often I didn't. And now I do make that a practice more and more, and it's proven to be a fact.
Just give them some time to get established
and make the big difference.
Something else I always did, and I found this out by accident. I think a lot of the things that I do today happen as a result of either experimenting or just paying attention to what's going on. But I will put in a 3-gallon pot when I plant a rose up, I'll put in maybe 2 inches of triple shredded hardwood mulch. What I've found over the years is the rose roots will seek that mulch. I have no idea why, but they actually seek mulch.
Oh, I've never heard that, but I'm going to try it.
And I used to do the same thing, planting floribundas or any type of large rose in the ground. I would put a shovel full of mulch in that 3-foot hole that I was digging.
Good tip. You know, you said something about mistakes and what it's like to be a new rosarian. And when you've done roses as long as we have, people just assume that you have the green rose thumb, you know. And Chris and I were just at Garden to Blog this past week, and I heard someone say that people are not born with green thumbs. They are made by the mistakes that you make. Everyone starts out with the same brown thumb. It's just sticking with it is what changes the color of the thumb. And I thought, isn't that the truth?
You know, I have to laugh because that is so applicable to exhibiting. I cannot tell you, it would be embarrassing how many mistakes I've made. I don't think I've ever entered a rose show that I didn't get disqualified on at least one entry, you know, from forgetting to put the correct name down. I mean, I could go on and on and on.
Oh, yeah. I've been there. Done that.
It happens. I mean, I don't even worry about it anymore. I can crawl. The first National Rose Show that I went to, I had one bloom that I thought was halfway decent, and I was trying to disbud it. My hands were shaking, and I actually cut the peduncle, and the rose fell on the floor. I thought I was going to cry.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, today I do things like that, and I laugh.
Yeah.
And, you don't know how much better it makes me feel to hear that you, with your hundreds of wins, can share that with us. It makes us all feel better, Richard. Thank you.
Hey, it happens. I mean, I take too many roses to the show. I try to end too many classes. And when you get in a hurry and you don't check and recheck, mistakes happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, Richard, you mentioned something earlier about a challenge class. At a rose show, you know, a lot of folks today that listen to our podcast are new, you know, gardeners. And tell us a little bit about some of these challenge classes. I know we have a couple at the Birmingham show, but I know on a national level they get a little more intense.
I don't know if it's more intense. They get a little more difficult. Let's put it that way. I'm getting tired of coming in second place to Satish Prabhu and Sandy Lundberg. But what a challenge class is, it's a collection of roses. And the challenge is to comply with what they're looking for and to have, mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. There's a Ben Williams challenge class that calls for 10 mini floors. You can use 10 different or 5, 2 of the same. You try to get 10 perfect queens to put it in that challenge class, and it is a challenge. Typically, there'll be 3, 4, 5 entries, and they're all superb, and there'll be one little difference that will make the winner.
Wow. Well, you know, it must be I know you're also a judge of rose shows, horticulture, and it must be difficult to judge that type of a challenge class.
Oh, my.
Actually, the better the roses, the easier it is to judge. Judging becomes difficult when you do not have good entries. When you have outstanding entries, it's very easy to determine the winner.
True.
Wow.
Now, you told us what not to do. Oh, go ahead, Chris.
No, you go ahead.
You told us what not to do, and that is cut the rose off before you get it on the table. But I want some tips on what to do when exhibiting roses. So what are the judges looking for? What is newbies should we be thinking of when we're ready to exhibit?
Well, we could spend an entire show going over that. What they're looking for is a rose that has good form. And form consists of, if you look at the rose from the top on down, it's going to be a circular form. If you look at it from the side, it's going to approach a pyramidal shape. It has to have a tight center. That's a pinpoint. You want a nice straight cane. You want shiny leaves. You don't want to see torn leaves or insect damage on them. And there's a few other things that they look for. The main thing, it's going to be fresh. It's called substance.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look old.
That's the reason that you're going out at 4 o'clock in the morning on the day of the Rose Show with a flashlight just to see what's there.
Some people do that. I do not subscribe to that, especially in Tennessee. Now, in Ohio, roses pretty much did not move after about 11 or 12 o'clock. In Tennessee, I can look at a rose at 9 and think I need to have it open up a little more and go look at it a half hour later and I've got an open bloom. So that's been a learning experience, but I'm not certain there is a correct time. The reason people say early in the morning is supposedly the sugars are highest in that plant at that point in time. I like to cut a rose when it's ready to be cut.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned shiny leaves. Now, we need to tell our listeners that, you know, how do you get the shiny leaves? We wouldn't want to spray something on them, right?
Well, you can remove anything you want from a rose, but you never, ever want to add something to it. And that will include some of the people can cheat and use milk and water together to shine a leaf. You really don't need to do anything. If you take your index finger and your thumb and just rub it on the leaf, you will see that leaf will shine on its own. Many people will wind up using paper towel or an old T-shirt or anything just to wipe off any residue that is on that leaf. You want the leaf to be clean. You spray your roses weekly like I do, you're going to get spray residue on that leaf. Well, by wiping it off with water and some type of cloth, it's going to shine that leaf.
Mm-hmm. Well,
these are the things you want to do at home. You do not want to do them. And if you go to a rose show and 3 roses, yes, you have time to do it. But if you take 50, 100, or 200 roses to a rose show, hopefully you've done all these things at home before the rose show.
Mm. What else can you do at home before you get there?
Well, you can condition that rose. I mean, you want to hydrate it fully. I have a florist cooler, so I will cut roses for an entire week, put them in my cooler. I clean and polish the leaves. I manipulate the petals to some degree prior to transporting them to a rose show, so that when I get to a rose show, I'm primarily pulling them out of the cooler, arranging them, maybe doing a minute amount of preparation. I mean, roses are like a beauty contest. I mean, they're all beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Your job as an exhibitor is to make that rose as beautiful as possible.
Now, one thing I remember from the first time I went to a rose show that I was going to exhibit something, so I was back there with all of the, you know, the big guns, and I looked over and I saw a rose, and it looked like you say, it was a beauty contest because it had little Q-tips everywhere. Now, why would someone who's getting a rose ready to show use Q-tips?
Well, the way it works is if you position the Q-tips properly, you're improving the circular form of that rose you're also trying to spread apart the rows of petals so that there is a little bit of space between each row. That makes the rose appear to be larger than it is. It also enhances the appearance of that rose.
So, yes, not for the total newbie maybe, but definitely good tips to know for making that rose look its very best. And I would think that as a judge, just knowing what to look for would help in the whole exhibition process. So the more that you know, the more you'll be ready for a rose show.
Well, it's a stated fact that if once you become a judge, you will actually become a better exhibitor. And I totally believe this. I mean, I was winning before I became a judge. I think I've won more since I've been a judge. And I think any rose judge is going to tell you the same thing.
Well, for those listening, if there's more that you would like to know about this, Richard has written a lot about growing great show roses. So if you check out his website, forloveroses.com, you're going to get even more information. Richard, it's been wonderful to have you with us. I have learned a ton. I appreciate all the great tips.
Well, it's my pleasure. I mean, I really enjoy talking about roses. We encourage people to give us a call if they're looking for a particular rose. They don't see it on our website. You know, a lot of times we can point them in the right direction or tell you, yes, we have the rose. It'll be ready in 2 or 3 months. And sometimes it's just nice to sit back and talk to someone you know or to meet a new rosarian. I had a lady call in, and she only ordered one rose. I found out she was from the Lyndhurst area, which is a suburb of Cleveland. So I pointed her toward the Cleveland Rose Society, and I think they're going to get a new member as a result.
Chris and I say it all the time, roses and people, what a great combination. You know, that's just where so many great friendships are formed, over the love of a rose, for sure.
Can't say enough good things about people and roses.
Oh, no, not at all. So before we let you go, is there anything that we didn't cover that you think that our rose-showing world just needs to know?
Well, I think two things. Number one, I think people need to belong to a rose show. To a rose society. They're going to learn more about roses. They're going to meet nice individuals. They'll have an opportunity to learn how to exhibit if they're not an exhibitor, or how to grow better roses if that's your objective. And the other thing is that I think people should be aware that they have an opportunity to become members of the American Rose Society. It's one of the finest organizations I've ever belonged to, and I can't say enough good about the American Rose Society.
Well, and I would add to that, Richard, if you're new to roses and you're intimidated by some of the things you even heard tonight, or you think that those that have been growing roses for years intimidate you, there is nothing that a seasoned rose grower or rose show person would rather do than to teach you. You know, it's something we love to do. We love to mentor people. We love to pass on or to help you do the very best that you can do at what you want to do. So don't be intimidated by a room full of people that you think know more than you. They were you at one time, and they're there. They'll be very happy to help you.
Everyone starts somewhere, and we all start at the same place, and we just grow as we learn more. And, you know, it's the same thing with judging. One of the things I enjoy most when I judge a rose show is taking new people around afterwards and showing them how they could have made their rose better. And perhaps instead of having a yellow ribbon or a white ribbon, maybe they could have had a red or a blue ribbon.
I just find everyone is so helpful at that level. And I've been growing roses for 25 years, and I'm sure Chris would attest to the same thing. I always learn something. I never go to one of my Rose Society meetings that I don't learn something from someone. It's just a great place to learn more and just to have fun when you have like minds.
I have to chuckle when you made that comment, because the more I learn, the more I realize how little I know.
On so many levels.
I didn't know if you picked up on that one or not.
So true.
Who was it, Bob Martin, who said that he got a house and planted a rose garden and thought he knew everything about growing roses and went to a Rose Society meeting and found out he knows nothing about growing roses?
And baby, look at him now.
It's a fact. And I'll tell you, I mean, I think if you really stop and think about it, the more you learn about roses, the more you realize how much more there is to learn. One thing people, I think a lot of people are not aware of, and it's probably one of the best tips I ever received about exhibiting, was someone told me to learn the rose. Each rose is unique. I mean, you take Whirlaway, for example. It does not like to be overwatered. Other roses don't like to be over-fertilized, like Lady Awen. And, I mean, on and on and on. Some roses react unfavorably to various different fungicides, et cetera. So if you learn each rose and what it takes, you know, you'll find out if this rose has to open on the bush or you have to cut this rose tight and keep it in the cooler. Each rose is unique unto itself.
I think one of the tips that I have given to people that I think is the secret to the success of a rose garden is just visit it often. And I always think, you know, if you've got a rose garden, why would you want to be inside anyway? So the more you visit your roses, the more you get to know them. It's just like your children or your friends. When you're with them, you just get to know them and their quirks and their high points and their low points. And that's just, like you said, that's a lot of the fun.
Oh, it is. You know, I walk the rose beds at least twice a day, once in the morning, once when I'm ready to leave the greenhouses. And it was the same thing when I was living in Ohio. I would look at the roses before I went to work, and I would look at them when I got home.
That's a good way to start an easy day.
Yeah, and it always amazed me when I was gone for a day or two how much the garden had changed during my absence.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So which one of you two is going to be at the National this year?
I think both of us will be in Syracuse.
Well, we're excited about Syracuse because we're actually providing the giveaway rose.
Ooh,
really?
Ooh, nice.
Can't tell you what the name of it is or what it looks like, but everyone who will be attending that National will receive a rose to take home.
Well, I'm glad for the advance notice. I'll save a little extra room in my luggage.
That's
or
right.
I'll carry it on my
You're
lap.
Flying up. We don't have that luxury since not only are we taking roses up there, but we're going to exhibit up there. So we're going to drive, and that is not something I look forward to. That's 13 and a half hours from Brighton, Tennessee.
That's quite a haul.
Oh, but if you win all those ribbons, you'll be glad you did.
Yeah, you'll need that truck to haul all the
yeah.
trophies out.
Well, I'm not going to say what I'm thinking, but we don't collect ribbons anymore.
Yeah. Well, Richard, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's always a pleasure to have you on our show to share your tips and insights on growing the world's most beloved flower. So thanks again.
Well, I look forward to seeing both of you two again, and take care and have a wonderful week ahead of you filled with smiles and roses.
Now, with over 300 active rose societies in the United States, I'm sure that there is a rose show near you. If you will visit the American Rose Society's website at rose.org, there you'll find a calendar of local rose shows. I hope you will make plans to visit a local rose show in your area soon. And to get a little more adventurous, we'd love to see you in Syracuse this September for the ARS Fall National Show. More on that on our show page for this show. You can click on the link and find out more information about the Fall National. Well, we're at the end of another broadcast. Teresa, our time always goes so quickly.
It sure does. I can just, you know, we can talk about roses just all day long.
Sure could. Well, until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
You've been listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington, expert rose gardeners who want to help you achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Don't miss an episode. Listen anytime on our website at rosechatpodcast.com or listen on the go via the Rose Chat app on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Share this podcast with your social networks and join us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by using the hashtag RoseChat. Join us next time for another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. The Rose Chat Podcast is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.